And we are live with another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's, you know, geeky, weekly, geekly. That's how it goes. And, you know, it's been a hell of a week. But as always, I am joined by my two amazing co-hosts. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
Hey, it's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, Hello Steph on Instagram, Hey You to my cat, I don't know. But I'm here, and we're going to do a show live. Look at that.
Heck yeah. Who else we got?
Still me, and I'm still Eric, and we're coming to you on the internet live.
Yeah, we are live. So if you are keeping up with us, we're going to start doing this live on Twitch each weekend. Just do a live show, kind of have that more talk show feel. It's going to be the same podcast, but just online. So if you want to comment at us while we're doing it, you know, that could be more your speed or something like that. Who knows? This is a whole thing. Additionally, you could probably leave comments with us and just hang out and that kind of thing. But we're just going to do... Also, it's going to be easy for me to edit, and my life is painfully... full and busy and rough to navigate things recently, despite the fact that I have nowhere physically to go. Life is still a lot. But
it feels like that sometimes.
It does. It really does. However, we do have another episode full of pop culture lovelies and goodness. And we can... Damn, I'm looking at this list. It's like, what the hell kind of world do we live in? I'll start with the most recent thing for me, and if you all want to be great dance partners and follow my lead, we can just do that. I watched season 2 of Umbrella Academy yesterday, the day after it came out, which was pretty good. I like Umbrella Academy now. It's a good show.
Nice. If I'm correct, you didn't watch the first season?
I did not watch season 1 of the Umbrella Academy at all. my partner watched it, and I walked in on one scene... like during a fight scene in the house kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know any of the characters or what was going on. All I knew was Ellen Page and Mary J. Blige were in it. And it was based off of a comic from the dude from My Chemical Romance, Gerard Way. Yep. And I, with my minor explanation from my partner as far as like what the powers are and kind of like why the last season ended the way it did and maybe watching a video, jumped right in. You don't have to know a lot to enjoy the story. It's actually... pretty fun and fascinating, I must say.
Is that the one that's about the academy where they teach the scientists for Umbrella Corporation and Resident Evil?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Kind of. There's nefarious shit going on.
I watched the first 2 episodes of the first season, like, last year. And I don't know why I just didn't keep going with it. Just probably just because I have a short attention span for like 45-minute episodes.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of TV is like that, or a lot of Netflix stuff is like that, where if you don't just watch all of it, it's hard to come back unless you were already invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can make it very tricky and difficult to stick with something. But hey, you know, it was fun. It was good. I recommend it to everybody. There's some nice twists and turns. It deviates from the comic to flesh out 2 of the storylines. This isn't really a spoiler, I guess. It's in the first episode. Based on events from the end of the last season, they decide to try to jump back in the past to avoid the apocalypse that they were dealing with.
Can we do that?
I wish we could do that. However, I wouldn't. Not sure if I would want to do that because they time jump back to the 60s, and the time jump kind of screws up and drops them up in the same spot. In the same place, but over 3 different years.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Which, one of the characters is a black woman, so that wasn't a great time for her to be there. Another one of the characters is Ellen Page is kind of a queer person. So again, not a great time for her either. And, I mean, I assume that she is that. It's just the way that they play the character, at least in the first few episodes, I think that.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh yeah, the black character, the black lady. She doesn't have her voice at this point, because her power is activated through speech, and someone purposely like cut her throat so she wouldn't be able to do that. As far as I could tell, or they did—they cut her throat. I don't know if that was the goal. So she can't activate her power, which is when she says, I heard a rumor, whatever she says next will come true. Like, I heard a rumor that you will leave me alone and someone will just leave you alone, which would be very handy in the 60s.
Yeah,
as a black woman, but she can't talk at all. Luckily, the Umbrella Academy has taught her to fight, so she was able to, like, fight some dudes and get away and run away and go, like, find refuge somewhere. But other than that, just, like, you know, a bunch of stories with people being displaced in time and having to deal with that. Which is kind of funny going after the conversation and tirade I went on last week about Cap being in the past. But, you know, similar kind of time displacement stuff. But it was really fun. A lot of cool superpower stuff, some weird time travel stuff. Yeah, I like it. I'm probably going to go read the comics now. And there's only 3 issues. Each season corresponds to an issue, so I'm like, damn. They probably tell the whole ass story if it's just based on one graphic novel. Yeah, that's what I did this weekend.
So the only thing that I actually watched this past week was not a show or an anime or anything, but something that I think is kind of fascinating. It's a streamer on Twitch by the name of Wayne Radio TV did a series called Half-Life VR, but the AI is self-aware. And what it was posed as is that he is playing through Half-Life VR as Gordon Freeman, and there are AI that talk to him, AI, quote unquote. But what it really is, it's his friends who are playing roles within the game, trying to behave like AI. Some of them aren't trying very hard, in my opinion. But it kind of sparked this thing for me of I was interested in, you know, people creating drama or series using VR and, you know, like machinima, basically. But this was all performed live in improv, so that was fairly interesting and also absolutely hilarious. I absolutely recommend. He did a like, the series itself is very long, but he also edited it down to make it easier to view. So there's like 3 quote unquote seasons with 3 episodes each that are like 30 minutes long, maybe. So
that sounds pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, it's incredible, like, the idea behind creating an improv comedy / drama using VR and basically what is the source engine. So it was pretty interesting to take a look at.
I like that. I'll have to check that out. I'm glad you said all that, because it reminded me of the other thing that I watched this week. So H-Bomber guy released another Behemoth video, which is what he does, which I appreciate because that's the kind of person I am.
You like to watch them long-ass things?
I love long-ass stuff on YouTube. It's so good. People watch movies.
Any YouTube video that's over, like, 2.5 minutes, I'm like, I don't have time.
See, I watch it, like, as TV-type stuff. That's how I consume it. You know, it's not... You know, I know a lot of people are like, I want to watch a YouTube video, and they want to get to the point and get done. I'm like, no. I'd rather watch something long than, I guess in your case, like, read something that's very long. I think for informational type things or trivia, I don't even watch it half the time, I just listen to it. So it's like, yeah. But yeah, he did a 2.5 hour video about why Ruby, RWBY, was disappointing. And a lot of Ruby fans got mad, which, you know, I understand people get mad when you say a thing that they love or are devoted to isn't as good as people say. But a lot of the points seemed pretty reasonable and backed up, whereas the counterpoints didn't. They were just kind of mad, which, again, I'd be mad too. I get mad when people trash Sonic and they're not accurate about it. IGN specifically.
But at least be right about it if you're going to shit on Sonic.
Yeah,
at least be accurate about your hatred for the Blue Hedgehog.
Yes, I'm sure you'll agree with most of the fans because we hate it too. Please free us. but it was actually fascinating to watch this, and it did seem a lot like, damn, Ruby had a lot of hype and potential around it. Could have been really awesome, and it just kind of wasn't because of... I don't know. Well, I mean, I know why he said, but I'm not sure why people had the writing issues that he claimed they did. Like, I'm not sure like why they would make these mistakes when they seem to be pretty good writers otherwise. So, have either of you watched Ruby or anything like that?
I have not. I know of it.
I kind of have a vendetta against Rooster Teeth.
Oh, no. Yeah, it seemed like it was something that wasn't for me. It seemed like, oh, this is something like teenage girls like. I'll just let them like it. I don't need to criticize it. And I didn't know it was like an anime thing, which, again, I don't think I was the target audience. I was just like, eh, if people want to like something, go ahead. I don't have to like it too. But the costumes are pretty cool and the fights are fun. So, you know.
Yeah, the costumes, I think that was like a big, I know a lot of people who, by a lot of people, I mean like a specific subset of my cosplaying friend group who are really into cosplaying the Ruby characters because they had a pretty like cool aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can recall seeing a lot of that at conventions and stuff.
It's the one thing that I pulled from it is that so much of Ruby is just your favorite anime but like boiled down into this one. And I feel like you can get there with the character design, like it's some anime ass shit. Like the main character has this giant scythe that turns into a gun. And that's the most anime sentence I think.
That's some pretty anime shit, yeah.
That's some God Eater shit right there.
And, you know, the premises that the show seemed to be about, again, I haven't watched it. I can only hope H. Bomber Guy was telling the truth. I don't see why he would lie, but, you know, anyone can. I'm not, anybody can lie. It seems like, man, there were some good-ass ideas here. Too bad they didn't follow up. And again, as a Sonic fan, I can relate.
Really feel that.
But yeah.
Yeah, my thing I watched this week was that those When Posting Goes Wrong videos that YouTuber, I think his name is like Eldina Doublecast.
So good.
Or something. They're so good. It's just like love to hear about mess, like very much like that like clip of Marie Kondo being like, I love mess. Like talking about just the truly bonkers, like, and like pointless to many extents. Like, not like there was no profit involved necessarily for any of these people, but like he has three different, like, and again, like this I will sit and watch 45 minutes of because it's fascinating, but like people who have like pretended for like for whatever reason to be other people or to have like zillions of sock puppets or like the Tumblr witch who stole human bones. Like,
that's a thing.
Like, it just like the really crazy stuff that happens on the internet. And they are fascinating to watch, and I recommend if you too love mess. Yeah. To there is some stuff. It was really the one. They have one about Miss Scribe, which was a whole big Harry Potter fandom drama from like 2006.
Yeah, and apparently we have a personal connection to that, which you had to tell me.
Yeah, which interestingly enough, one of the people who was involved in that ended up going on to be involved in Universal FanCon, which is another scheme that is not quite When Posting Goes Wrong, but I would love to hear someone do some sort of big deep video essay kind of dive into that as well.
That would be cool, because related to the YouTuber Doublecast, they have done voices and they've had voices in their YouTube videos from YouTuber Sarah Zed, and she has a video where Doublecast speaks in about DashCon. Sarah Zed is like a fandom, how do you put it?
Historian, kind of
video essayist, right? Mm-hmm. So different things about different fandoms, and just, you know, video essays about whatever she wants to talk about. Good channel, I recommend it. But one of them was about DashCon and just like why that was the mess that it was, and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, I had the complete wrong idea of why this fell apart. I assumed just nobody went. I didn't realize how horribly mismanaged it
yeah,
was.
Oh yeah, it was probably running it. People went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is,
I was reading Noelle Stevenson's graphic memoir last week, and like one of the things that she mentions in the year that DashCon, she was like, I went to a convention that became an internet meme.
Wait, she went to DashCon?
She was at DashCon, yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
She was just famous for Nimona at the time, like.
Huh.
She was just like an indie webcomic person.
That's the level of fame that I want to be at, is that I'm invited to stuff like DashCon, except I want that stuff to actually happen.
And be good.
I don't mind if it's good or bad, as long as it's not bad for bad reasons.
No, I mean, as long as I'm not like the Welcome to Night Vale creators like ended up sleeping on someone's couch because the hotel that DashCon people were supposed to put together, like, didn't come, like, didn't exist.
Yeah.
So, like, as long as it's not that kind of bad, like, I will enjoy even a quote-unquote bad convention.
Yeah. The reason I say a certain kind of bad, because another person, a YouTuber, got exposed this past weekend, like, in animation YouTube, of being a child groomer, I think is the word.
Oh, good.
Great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Which, the strange part about it is that he had admitted to this previously, but, like, kind of, like, deleted it and just kind of didn't really talk about it. So people were asking his friend, like, friendly YouTuber, like, hey, how come you didn't say anything about this? And, like, bro, I didn't know. And they're like, how'd you not see this tweet? They're like, what tweet? They're like, oh, it actually got deleted. So, like, there was a good chance you were sleeping because this was in a different time zone and you just literally didn't see this. And then they never talked about it again. But the victim had, like, come forward and said, you know, if people want to talk about this, I give them, like, my blessing and consent to talk about it. And there's a lot of yikes. So, you know, don't want to give any more air to that person. They're not on the internet really anymore. Like, they deleted their channel and their Twitter and stuff like that.
Probably for the best.
Yeah,
probably for the best. You know, there's different speculation of if they're just trying to go in hiding, like, get avatars and, you know, keep their editing gigs. But, like, people don't want to, because people don't want to work with a predator. That's not really something I want to do anyway. So, but people still want to be out here, you know, making money or doing whatever they want to do, keeping their hustle. And, you know, it's, hey, I don't have to just let you, you know, go into the workforce. You know, we really don't want you in the fandom communities and stuff like that. So, terrible shit, but, you know, better that people are getting exposed and called out and people are denouncing that kind of stuff. So, there's a silver lining, I hope.
Something, like, this is not related on the same level of terribleness, but I'm sure the two of you have seen Butch Hartman on Twitter.
Yeah, doing, like tracing commissions.
Yeah.
How is it, like, this is the same sphere of terrible people, but it's a different kind of terribleness and a different
scale. Yeah.
But, like, we haven't left animation YouTube.
Right, and it's just, like, I don't understand how... First off, if you are the quote-unquote creator of all these acclaimed cartoons, how are you drawing such bad art?
I want to say laziness, because, like, as of, like, at least 5 years ago, I watched one of those videos, like, from Jello Apocalypse, So This Is Basically, and he did one on Danny Phantom, and Butch Hartman drew, like, some new characters for it. It's like, yeah, that looks, like, kind of like Butch's style, but this looks like something that he must have drawn. He said he did it. And it doesn't trace from anything, so I don't know why he's tracing stuff when he can already draw.
Yeah. And charging $200 a pop for, like, very simple character.
Bad,
like,
traced art.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know, just the, you know, different types of terrible, but that's just what's on the internet right now.
Yeah, someone commissioned him to draw a picture of Dib from Invader Zim. And, you know, I like the art from Invader Zim, but it's not particularly complex art. You know, if you're somebody who can draw, I imagine you can draw Zim or Dib or any of the characters. They're purposely like basic shapes that you can look at, you know, but, like, he traced one, so they're like, dog, why did you trace this? This isn't your property. You probably could have had, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. He has his, like, whole scam channels and stuff like that, and a lot going on with him, but luckily we haven't heard from Dan Schneider in a while, so that's probably a good thing. Right. So yeah, we could talk about, let's talk about the past a little bit. The UPN and WB shows are being brought to Netflix, which is very exciting for black, like, people.
Okay, so those are when they say that, does that mean like old, like, sitcoms and stuff, or like Animaniacs, or like,
no, not that part of WB, which is weird that they said it. The only reason people are including WB on this is because of Moesha, I believe.
Okay.
Is coming to the service, so it's mostly just UPN shows plus Moesha, which, yeah, I could have wrote that, but it was more characters that I didn't want to type on my phone when I put this in the doc. Be fully transparent. But yeah, like, shows like One-on-One, Girlfriends, Half and Half, The Game, lots of shows that, you know, a lot of black people and possibly non-black people, I suppose, but I grew up on. It was either the UPN block on Mondays or One Tree Hill from the CW on Wednesdays. Depends on whenever my mom was braiding my hair. and it is a huge tonal shift to go from watching The Parkers and Girlfriends to going to watch One Tree Hill. It's a very different kind of lifestyle.
I learned yesterday at my sister's bridal shower that apparently that's her favorite TV show. I didn't know.
One Tree Hill?
I know. Huh. It was news to me.
You know, Chad Michael Murray, he was that dude. And he has that really good theme song by Gavin DeGraw, I Don't Wanna Be. Which is very repetitive, but it's a great first verse and chorus if you don't have to hear it a second time. As soon as that second, second verse hits, just let it go. Maybe skip to the bridge, but like a second verse, it's like, I see why you wanted to say all this, but I would have maybe wrote it there. I don't know. Interesting show. But yeah, I'm excited cool, about though. Seeing the UPN stuff come up. It might be interesting for a new generation of people to see, or a different demographic, but it'll definitely be a nice nostalgia thing for a lot of us to see some of these black voices. You know, I think people pretty well know Tracee Ellis Ross at this point, but the first thing I know her from was Girlfriends. So,
not gonna lie though.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, mine can be added at the end.
Yeah, it's always been hard for me to see her in other roles and not just like remember her from that role. I'm like, oh no, she's that like kind of neurotic lady. It's like, no, that was a character. Like you were just young. It's like, oh, also in the show,
this person.
Yeah, she's a whole person. The show One on One had Kyla Pratt in it, who voiced Penny in The Proud Family. But also had the brother from Cousin Skeeter, Bobby. So that's just a fun thing that, you know, different people. So I'm looking forward to like maybe revisiting some of those. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing that they're doing. Though I will say that I would have also been stoked to see Animaniacs on there, just because I really do enjoy that show.
Yeah,
that's
what was, yeah, that
when I said
cool.
WB, I was like, the cartoons.
No, yeah, I can see why my message would dictate that, but no, those are probably WB shows are probably fully owned by HBO Max and Hulu.
Yeah, most likely.
So, I mean, if the WB animation and those shows came to Netflix, I think that would also be huge news, but just for a completely different reason.
Yeah, that'd be different industry news at that point.
Yeah. But yeah, cool for black people.
Nice.
That's my motto. I'm just rooting for everybody black, which some terms and conditions may apply. I don't know if this is the forum to have that conversation necessarily. It would be very weird for it would just be me talking at you two, I guess. But speaking of black people's issues, something got put in the doc a little bit later, which I'm glad it did. There's the discussion over what's fraudulently being called Gen Z language.
Ah, yeah.
So like, we have a linguist here, right? You're kind of a linguist, you two, right?
Both of us
in the English language.
Yeah.
So just to get a wealth of opinions, you know, Steph, you put this here. What did you see that made you want to talk about this?
Well, I actually, one of the things I saw that really like stuck with me. So it's gone for many, many years, like in the same, like in all pop culture in America, like white people want to take black pop culture, but not black people.
Yeah.
And this like kind of slang is just another way that happens. And so like, I saw a thing that said like, in Toni Morrison, in like one of her books that came out in like 1979, said it'd be like that sometimes. Like, that's not something that someone born in 1998 came up with. Right. Like, it's something like that comes from black culture, and that is not like something that like college girls came up with or gay people came up with, specifically white gay people. Like anything that you hear like people saying on Drag Race, or like, I don't know, like that stuff is all coming originally out of black culture.
Yeah, like I don't know the full history and context of it, because mostly because I'm a heathen, but I know a lot of slang that we know today comes from black people, very often black women and or like ball and drag community culture and stuff like that, you know, saying stuff like that's the tea or shade or slay, that have spread to the wider black community, but have been, you know, predominantly from some of those subcultures. Or even specifically, we all know the example of a few years ago when I believe Peaches Monroe coined the term on fleek. On Vine or TikTok? Probably Vine, which...
I think it's on Vine.
That yeah, part back, I won't back then it would have been Vine.
I don't really co-sign Vine, but again, I'm rooting for everybody black. Please get her checks. But that became like a big thing that lots of other people were profiting off of and using and saying, oh, that's just internet lingo. It's like, well, I mean, on a way, yes, but on a much bigger, deeper way, not really.
Yeah, it's like when you take it and like you print it on a t-shirt and make a bunch of money off of your like... white girl Etsy store.
It's like, part of the good look.
Yeah. And then so, problem.
There's also the greater discussion of like calling that internet lingo, like this might just be the old fart in me sitting here, but like internet lingo to me is like text speak stuff.
Yeah, like
you know, like stuff that we saw on
LOL, BRB, like
yeah, stuff that we used on old like ICQ like messengers and stuff like that, like you know, like not because you wouldn't be saying the stuff out loud. And when you did meet people who said that stuff out loud in reality, you looked at them like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I think there's definitely a discussion like that as well. There are some things that are black culture, but kind of have like an internet speak version of them that kind of like things kind of get regurgitated back into the real world sometimes in the sense that, you know, something would be like, like that's hot AF, like was an internet thing, but like I feel like started with black people, but there's not a reason why we would necessarily say that in real life unless you were trying to be polite and you would say as F instead of AF. So there's a combination of those things, but like I think current internet lingo would be like garbage troll Twitch chat, like saying poggers, because that's like two steps removed.
The kids say you pogged it.
Oh, no. But like, you know, pog, like poggers comes from play of game or play of the game, and it became this whole thing. It's like, yeah, if you, people do say poggers, I've heard that being verbally said, but that doesn't
I wish I could unhear it being said.
Or like people saying Keck W or Monka. It's like, please stop saying these things out loud. But I get it. That's the kind of stuff I'm like, yeah, that's probably internet culture because that originated and has a context on the internet.
Well, yeah, and like also this is just going to be a weird tangent for me, but like saying Keck in the first place is such a strange thing that has become like this horrible
like weird,
know.
Like all
right. Yes, and
it's from Warcraft, right?
It literally originates from when you were an Alliance character playing in World of Warcraft, and somebody on the Horde faction said in Orcish, "LOL," it came up as Keck. And that was it. That's it. That's all it was. But now it's morphed into this like horrible like alt-right nonsense. Like I don't understand it.
I don't either. I don't know like why it became a 4chan thing. Probably because it was like, well, you know what? We were insular nerds. Not me. I wasn't there. But like we're insular nerds. We all understand what Keck means. So it'll be like we'll just say like Keck, and people won't get that we're just saying LOL.
Right.
And they'll be like, what does that mean? And we'll be like, and we'll just be able to keep saying it because we're not technically. Not answering them. And then, like, since it's on 4chan, that's where the alt-right started to, like, find its roots. Which apparently, like, the music board in 4chan is still, like, relatively decent for some reason. That's a whole other thing.
A lot of the, like, the non, like, shitpost
like,
boards.
Like, Ian Paul, like...
Yeah, like, the cosplay board is still, like, apparently fairly, like, decent. Though,
so
like,
strange.
A lot of, like, hatred. But...
That's so strange to me. I mean, it's interesting.
That's an especially strange part of the site to still be decent.
Yeah.
But
to the greater conversation, yeah, you know, you see it kind of like whenever somebody's calling somebody based, it's probably someone who's like an alt-right shithead or something like that. But I'm like, my first time hearing that was like Lil B based God.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And that's where they got it from. And I think just since Little B, I don't think is a bigot, but he's just like kind of like a trolly dude, and we're never 100% sure. Is like, does he think this is good, or is he trolling? Like, what's his music really do? Like, what's his whole shtick? And it's like he might just be trolling. Like, he released like 300 albums one year, and I like most of it. I don't understand why people like this. He doesn't seem to be rhyming, but he's calling it rap. But I can't even place a meter, so I don't know what he's doing. And I'm not mad that he's doing it. I just don't get it. but it's not that I'm old, because I was like 17. I'm like, I don't understand what this man is doing. Props to him, though. But somehow being base is like, oh yeah, women who hate feminists are base. It's like, I don't know what that means. Like, what does that mean? You just like took these things that were probably black culture. I didn't really hear a lot of people saying that other than Little B.
I mean, the only time I ever heard the term based was like literally on internet forums, and it was being used in a way to say like good. Like,
yeah,
that's what it was meaning, but I don't know where it came from. And that's me just being out of the loop. But that's the kind of stuff that, you know, is kind of semi-problematic to see it this way. And, you know, if you just want to see the way that like things can be co-opted and appropriated, like Pepe the Frog is like an alt-right symbol, like most of the time,
much to the chagrin of its creator.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the guy who made it was not,
he didn't want that shit.
He's super not okay with it. Like,
he's like, I just drew a frog this one time.
Well, it was like, actually it was like a little comic series, and they were always like really dumb. Like the one that I always remember is, it would be like Pepe in the bathroom, but another character comes in and they're like, Pepe, why do you have your pants all the way down to pee? And he would just say, feels good, man. And then that was it.
That's funny shit, man.
Right? And, like, I still say feels good, man. Like,
which is weird, because, like, feels good, man, feels bad, man, like, have not been associated with the bad connotations of just having a Pepe frog.
Yeah.
Which is... So, I mean, if that's... If you don't understand, like, why appropriation of, like, black culture can be so bad, it's kind of like that kind of thing. Your words get taken and morphed into something that you don't want to. At worst case scenario, best case scenario, you're just not getting the props for something that you created, and people are saying that, you know, other people did. You know, stuff like shout out or props is stuff that you'll hear in an office setting at one point. At this point, people are like, you know, we want to give a shout out to so and so. I'm like, that's hip hop culture. I remember there being a time where if you said that at work, they'd be like, man, this person's so unprofessional and ghetto. They're saying stuff like shout out and props. We're like, my bad. It's like, that, how did this happen? It's very strange to me.
At the same time, like, you know, to a degree at least, using that kind of stuff normalizes it, and, you know, I don't want to say elevates, because it's not like the culture was wrong in the first place, but it at least makes people think twice before judging somebody who says it.
Yeah, I think that would be the end goal hope, is that, you know, once you've heard like enough new things, you start to... In an ideal world, you would just be like, oh, you know what? My vocabulary has changed so much over the past 10 years. I should be more open to when I hear people say things that I don't understand or quite get. But what it turns out to be is these things don't become acceptable until they're through the right voices.
Yeah.
Like famous white women wearing braids or certain kinds of braids, and now it's not seen as quite as unprofessional as it used to. Or as much as I like it, K-pop just seemed to be black music with not black faces, and people seem to really love that shit, and it's probably why I like it, but it's because I'm like, I like black people shit, this seems similar to black people shit. But yeah, a lot like BTS and a lot of like K-pop hip-hop is like, yo, these are just like rappers and like wearing like streetwear and stuff like that. Like, people joke, like, oh, well, wow.
Like, Chinese fashion is full of that right now, too.
Chinese fashion is just, like, shit black people were wearing 20 years ago. Which, to be fair, fashion always cycles, so it's about time for stuff from 20 years ago to start being popular again. However,
this is true.
I would like it credit to go to the people who originated it. Like, people give props to Billie Eilish for wearing baggy clothes. And there is a level of, you know, hey, it's cool that you are saying, hey, I don't have to show off my body like the world wants me to, but if you want to, that's dope, too. But this style of clothes, I'm like, yo, like, wearing, like, logos and stuff, like, having M&M pants. I remember, like, the candy, not the person. Or like Sesame Street hoodies. Like, yo, I remember having that shit at, like, the stores, like, in East Liberty that aren't there no more. Yeah, this is the shit that I was wearing in, like, 2002. And people were like, why do you dress so black? I'm like, because I am. But also, what the fuck? Like, yeah. You want to say something, Steph?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, it's also, like, it's frustrating to see that kind of, especially any appropriation can be frustrating, but, like, especially when it's someone, like, who ultimately is, like, using, like, language that they took from black culture and then screwing over black people. Like if like Ivanka Trump was like slaying at the Emmys or something like that, it'll be like,
probably said that.
Which she probably, yeah. It's like, so it's like you are actively making this country a worse place for the people you took that word from. Like,
yeah, that also kind of sucks. Not going to lie. It's, yeah, I don't know. It's also cringy hearing people use words they don't want to, like, oh my god, you're shading so much right now. Like, that's not how that's used.
No.
Yeah, people, it, a lot of it's like, they understand what the word might portray, but not how to use it in a sentence. So.
Yeah. I remember one of the big things was when people were saying bye Felicia a lot.
And there was
this shirt that says, I want to be like Felicia. She's always going places. It's like, Felicia was a crackhead in Friday, dog. Like, I don't think you want to be like... I don't know if that's really the goal of what you want to do. But hey, you know, to each their own, I suppose.
That's your dream.
Yeah.
But I just kind of don't think it is. But, you know, I mean, I still think people should appreciate black culture. I'm black. I produce culture. Please appreciate me. I don't need your approval. I don't need approval, but I mean, if you want to give me some money, I'm not going to say no. That would be strange of me. Remember when, like... This is nowhere near as important, but it kind of is like the same type of thing. It's kind of like, you know how like non-marginalized groups can experience like hate, and it's like that sucks, but it's not really a systemic issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like that. I remember when like people who weren't like super nerdy were like saying epic fail in real life, and I'm like, that feels weird. I don't know what about this feels weird. Obviously, I never pursued any issue because it's like, I'm not going to call it a civil rights issue because somebody in a I Hate Nerds t-shirt said epic fail. That's not really affecting my life in any tangible way. You were saying something? I think.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
I forget.
I'm still a little bit reeling from the revelation about Keck because I thought it was just like a ironic shortening of like, the, like Japanese villain laughter.
It could also like, be that, but no. Like. That's unfortunate. If it was that, that would be honestly better in a way, at least in my opinion.
But, wouldn't be associated with Warcraft.
Yeah, which I mean, like, you know, Warcraft has a lot of problematic communities within it, like, obviously, because it's a video game. But, you know, just seeing that become that, like, because I can think back to, you know, when I was in like a freshman or a sophomore in high school playing World of Warcraft and like people saying Keck because like we were all playing Alliance and we were making fun of the Horde, like
it was like your fun and joke. Yeah
And I don't know, there's a lot of stuff like that, like as Dom was saying, like, you know, epic becoming a mainstream word when it's like a lot of this stuff was like quote unquote gamer slang or whatever, which, you know, they probably originated somewhere else before that, but that's what it then became associated with.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think when it's not appropriating like a culture, like when it's not like stealing from black culture or like established cultures and it's more of like taking from gamer lingo, it's the same thing as like, imagine if someone just like gave your in joke to somebody else. I think that's what it probably is. Like when people were saying like epic and stuff, it's like, I'm not hurt by this, like, oh man, there goes like that inside joke we had that honestly wasn't a very good inside joke, so maybe it's better that we're not using it anymore, but oh damn, we had a joke, now it's gone.
Yeah. However, or it's like I feel like I can't use these same, like, you know, little slangs that we had just to like portray feelings within like a video game or whatever, or, you know, that was, you know, it's wanting to feel included inside of your own in-group, and then when people come into that group uninvited, it can feel invasive.
Yeah. I just had a point, but I completely lost it. It was like a follow-up that was just some dumb shit, but it's a whole thing, whatever.
I have a really smooth segue.
Segue that shit.
Speaking of both, K-pop and cultural appropriation and creating black people creating American culture, do we want to talk about TikTok?
Yeah, let's talk about TikTok.
Yeah,
also, yeah, Fortnite owes like so many black people so much money.
Yeah.
Morally, not legally, but you know,
Fortnite owes a lot of like people in, like, in general, like, it owes society a lot. Like, let's be real.
They owe me money for what they've done to me personally.
Yeah, let's talk about TikTok. So I guess it's actually going to happen that the United States is going to ban TikTok.
I mean, okay. Like, is that that's what he said. But he said he would do it Saturday, and it's
still there.
Sunday right now, and I'm pretty sure it hasn't been banned.
I mean, yeah, I saw a lot of people that are like, don't really fuck with TikTok. We're like, man, I think TikTok should go, but like, not for these trash reasons. Like, I think people should just leave it. I don't think it should be banned or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like what we talk about. I think a fairly frequent theme of the show is like, if you don't like TikTok because it like downloads firmware to your phone and tracks you for the Chinese government, like that's a valid reason not to like TikTok. If you don't like TikTok because some teen said something mean about your racist like nonsense on the service, that's a bad reason to hate TikTok.
Yeah. There's plenty of valid reasons to dislike social media, and TikTok is included in that. Yeah. So
The conspiracy theory that I heard, which you ever heard, like, again, twice in 2 weeks, but have you ever heard a conspiracy theory? Like, I don't really think that's a conspiracy. I think that just might be something that's a thing.
Might be true?
Like, hey,
Is it the conspiracy that the real reason that TikTok is being taken down is because Facebook is putting out a service that is going to be akin to TikTok?
Yeah.
And removing the competition would help Zuckerberg, and Trump likes Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I heard. And based on the fact that so much of our current government is just money driven, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Because if it was really like, oh man, that we don't want all this like Chinese spyware, it's like, okay, well, you probably got to get rid of Fortnite and Tencent too then. Like, but no one's doing that. And if it was literally just Trump doesn't want his feelings to get hurt, he'd have to take some actions against Twitter, because, like, TikTok...
Yeah, a lot of people who don't care for...
Like, Trump's not seeing people make fun of him on TikTok. He's not over there, I don't think. Like, that... Why go there? Why go to your own public dunking? So, yeah, I would be willing to believe that it's like, yeah, it's just a money thing. And that checks out to me. But...
Which, honestly, also, like, to me, the Facebook thing... I can see it on one hand, my, like... aggressively exhausted with American capitalism thing can see it, but also like several tech CEOs were just like hounded in front of Congress because they're trying to decide whether to bring an antitrust suit against all of them, and I feel like it would be a really ugly move in that context to be like, oh yeah, by the way, we had the government bully out a competitor.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they gotta put it like in some sort of like context. Like, oh, we don't like it because of like racist reasons, or we see it as a threat to American security. We can't just say, oh, it's competition. Like that. Yeah, that would look bad. So we gotta like make up some shit that's like that doesn't stand up to scrutiny, I don't think.
Which, like, here's the thing. Like, if they did just straight up say like it is a threat to American security, and there wasn't anything shady beyond that, like, yeah, it is. Like, it is absolutely a threat. And like, Japan just banned it. Yeah. Like, there are other countries that are banning it because, like, they have also recognized the issues with it.
That's wild. So, like, so are they going to, like, do stuff with, like, Epic and Riot then?
I don't know. I haven't followed that as enough, you know, to know that. I'm not sure how popular those companies are in Japan in the first place.
Okay.
Since, like, PC gaming and, like, non-console gaming is pretty few and far between there.
That's right, yeah. That might not be an issue, and I don't think... Yeah, where would Fortnite be popular? Is Fortnite just popular, like, in the West?
I mean, it is like, a phone app, so it is popular. Oh, it probably is popular in Japan, and I just don't know. Like, and I don't want to say one way or the other.
Yeah, so I know, like, PUBG is pretty popular in some of the Asian countries outside of Korea.
China, specifically.
Yeah, and then League of Legends is real big, and... Well, MOBAs are big in South Korea.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see the different gaming demographics around the world, especially like where people play fighting games versus MOBAs versus shooters and that kind of thing. I feel like I don't know if this is true, but I feel like Overwatch is unique in being a shooter that's liked in some of the Asian countries. I don't think it's a common genre.
No, like Call of Duty and that kind of stuff is pretty much majority popular in like European and American markets. So, gotcha.
Is it true that Jet Set Radio Future didn't do well in Japan because it was an Xbox exclusive and they didn't fuck with Xbox?
That is absolutely the 100% the case. And like Microsoft doubled down on like trying to like capture the Japanese audience with the 360 and like signed a deal with Square Enix at one point to like have, I think it was 3 exclusive JRPGs made for Xbox, and then like also bring the next like 3 Final Fantasy games to Xbox.
That didn't really work, did it?
No,
I don't remember that ever actually happening.
I mean, those games did come out. So the 3 games were Star Ocean 4, Lost Odyssey, and there's the third one I can never remember the name of.
Final Fantasy 11 or something came out on the Xbox 360.
It did, yes. That wasn't one of them though. Okay. That one just happened to be out there anyways.
Because we bought it and then realized it was kind of like MMO-type game.
It 100% is an MMO.
Yeah, and we're like, this isn't what we thought it was going to be. Because we were like, oh, we like Phantasy Star Online. That's an online RPG. This will be good too. And we're like, this isn't for us. They really got it right at Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, someone was talking shit the other day. They said that Sega has been pretty quiet this year. And someone's like, no, you guys only like Sonic. Like, Sega's had a bunch of games this year since quarantine started, considering, like, Streets of Rage 4, Persona 5 Royal.
Yeah.
Some Yakuza. I'm like, honestly, I gotta be reminded half the time that these are Sega games, like, because Sega doesn't ever make a big show that they're releasing games.
Yeah.
Like, they have a massive, massive catalog of games. Like, of course you have Sonic, you have Jet Set Radio. All the Persona series is under Sega. You have the Yakuza series,
like Project Eva,
Panzer Dragoon, Golden Axe, like all these different games. You're like, wow, they actually have a ton of games. It's wild that they don't make a big deal about them. And like Yakuza games keep coming out and people love them. And Persona games are huge. Is Shin Megami Tensei considered Atlus and Sega?
So it's considered Atlus because Sega's just the publisher at that point, I believe.
Gotcha.
God, I it's killing me that I can't remember this third JRPG that came out on Xbox. I don't know. It wasn't good. I had it. It was not a great game.
Hey, well, we got a confirmation that Persona 5 Scramble is coming to the United States or to the West.
I mean, I already look, I've tried to assuage your fears about that multiple times.
You told me. I'm just pointing out that it has been confirmed that it's coming out here.
Yeah.
With no date, which is like, cool. So that thing that we assumed was going to happen is going to happen. Thanks. You have any idea when? No? Okay, cool. Great. I love it.
As I said, it's exactly how Atlus always operates with their, like, bringing any sort of game to the U.S. It'll release in Japan. They'll take their sweet-ass time translating it, and then it'll finally come out here. And then they'll be like, why didn't it sell as well in America? It's like, well, because you waited almost a year.
Yeah, like it's hard to get like a second release cycle for a game, like, because people move on, like the hype happens and it's like, well, I have other stuff to worry about. And when it's like, oh hey, here's this, like, it's a 1-year-old game, or like, why didn't I play this before? I have these other new games to play.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing happens. Speaking of Epic Games, that does sound so cringy in retrospect now. Epic Games, they're so epic, bro.
Yep.
Yeah, really.
It's a bad studio name.
They have a new game coming out that I'm not sure what phase it's in, or early access or what, but like it's going to be free to play, but if you want to play it now, you have to buy it like during its beta phase or whatever, or early access phase.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that because I'm like, I'll just wait to play it. I don't have money like that. But they started doing the thing that Valorant did, and if you watch certain streams, if you watch certain streams, you can get a drop and like get a key for it. But also you can sign up for it if you want to get it on console. So I signed up to see if I could get a Switch code. And it's like, oh yeah, if you're selected, you'll get the key within a few hours. Got it like in 5 minutes, wasn't even paying attention. That's cool. But then I got a code for it for PC, which I played the tutorial and practice game. So it's kind of like a, it's like Fortnite's gunplay, sort of.
What's it,
like,
what's it called?
It's called Rogue Company.
Okay, and, yeah, that's the one that I saw that on Switch as well.
Yeah. So it has, like, the movement kind of stuff of Fortnite, like, without the building and stuff like that, obviously. Sort of has, like, a Valorant-type objective, like, you either want to plant the bomb or stop it, but, like, sort of more, from what I heard, like, more of a Rainbow Six Siege approach to how you would play it. But, like, with a Fortnite coat of paint, so, like, you see those characters. And I gotta say, Epic Games knows how to make hot characters. That's cool. The characters actually have butts. And not like, oh, hey, look at this flat butt. It's so curvy. Like, no, they actually drew some nice butts. The men don't just have flat cardboard box butts. So that's a step up, you know. Good job on progress. And add this to the pile of games that have come out since Overwatch that are shooters. They have a black woman playable. I mean, she's behind the paywall with a bunch of the other characters, but she's just sitting there, and I'm like, I don't know how they chose what characters we get. It just seemed random. Like, they don't seem to have any general, like, flow to them. I don't know if it's any easier or harder, but she's in the promotional material, so it's like, oh, okay, so you pull me in with this, like, cool black lady with this nice hair and a cool suit. She's on the box. I'm like, cool, I'm gonna get to play this person. They're like, haha, you gotta play the game for a while or give us money. I'm like, I'm gonna just have to grind out these levels then, because I'm not giving you any money. They do have a character who has a boob window, which is kind of weird, so that's not great, but most of the people are practically dressed or streetwear dressed, so it's even more strange. But yeah, I played a little bit. It's kind of fun. It's third person. Something else to do. They've continued the trend of black guys that are healers that have braids and, like, green tips on the end. Don't know why Lucio is the archetype for healers, but that's cool, I suppose. Lucio's nice.
Recognizable, I guess.
You know what? If the stereotype is that, hey, black men aren't scary, they're healers, I'll take that stereotype over the one that, like, hey, they're villains just from existing. I'd rather no stereotypes, but I guess that's progress, I said facetiously. I don't know. It's whatever. It's cool. More games are coming out. Keep on playing. The Emmy nominations came out. Do we care about that at all?
I have not watched an award show in years.
No, yeah. I thought they were coming out. I thought there was some spice about... like as always, diversity in nominating, like, in the nominees.
Yeah, we're not doing great with it, but we are getting more black people involved, which is good. And you would think would be non-controversial, but you'd be wrong. I'm scrolling down and I'm seeing, you know, black people and Middle Eastern people and the actors, black people and the actresses, outstanding supporting actors. You got William Jackson Harper as Chidi. You got Kenan Thompson as various characters in Saturday Night Live. Seems like a weird way to put that, but yeah, fine.
Yeah.
We got Mahershala Ali, Andre Rauger as Captain Holt. Sterling K. Brown. No. Oh, Tony Shalhoub, I'm like, is Monk still on TV? You know, he's in something else, but something, lots of blackness, which is good. That makes me happy. That makes me personally smile, but we have not got there on the
representation for Latinx people.
Yeah, that is what I have, that is the complaint that I've been hearing, and that is something that I agree with and have no issue with people saying. The problem is when it is brought up as, like, oh, look how far black people are going, like, when are we going to get our moment? It's like, well, hey, that's ignoring black Latinx people. And also, it's like, that's a shitty way to say, hey, like, you guys need representation too. I agree with that, and we're here for you. But, like, maybe don't say that you're not getting it because of us, because that's still white supremacist nonsense. Maybe the representation is not happening because of, like, racism towards you, not racism for us, has been the general take that I've seen. Just kind of feels shitty when someone's like, we're not getting success because other people are. That, I don't know, that kind of hurts a little bit.
Yeah. It's not zero sum.
Yes, that's correct. Oh, hey, Bette Miller's up for something. But yeah, lots of different stuff. It's also good to see Issa Rae just, like, kicking ass just for the sake of it at this point.
Yeah.
What is she doing? Like, best actress, I think? Best outstanding lead, yeah. You know, I think the show is up for some awards, and she should be getting ones for, like, writing it. Yeah, it's up for outstanding comedy series. People are like, yo, remember, always remember, she started on YouTube, so that's dope. Great to see a black lady shining like that. But I don't really, like, fuck with award shows. I just like to see that they're kind of balancing stuff a little bit. Also, I guess Billy Porter's the only person who gets nominated for Pose, so that's probably a bad thing.
Yeah, maybe not great. Yeah. Maybe, the one, like, notable cis person in the show being the one who gets nominated for stuff would be... is not great?
No, it's not. Just... the takes that I've seen were, like, he should be nominated for those things, but also a whole bunch of other people should, too. Because Billy Porter apparently is doing a good job. I've never seen Pose. I don't need training on how to pose. I always strike good poses. No, that's not the reason to watch the show. That's a joke. I'm sorry.
But yeah, he's dare make a joke.
Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. We love a we stan a black king. Now, okay, now it's okay. It, again, I don't know if it's the right audience to ask. Is Stan black culture?
Since it came from Eminem, but Eminem, white guy rapping.
Yeah, like, I thought the reason it became a thing, I could be wrong, but I thought it came from the Stan song, and it came from that song where Eminem.
I thought it came from the name Stanley.
it did.
But, it came from people who are fans of Stanley Yelnats, the Poles.
Kind of. But so it's a white man who wrote this song about a guy named Stan who is obsessed with him, but he's writing in a black culture, but he didn't use Stan as a term. That was just the dude's name. So to call somebody a Stan would have been black culture, because that's who decided to start using it that way. But it's because of a thing a white dude did in a black group. So I don't know. Language is, in fact, tricky.
Yeah, that's I have a lot of trouble trying to, like, attribute language to specific things, because, like, yes, I definitely agree that things come from specific subcultures or, like, that kind of stuff, but, man, lines can be very difficult to see.
Yeah. I think it's probably for the obvious things. I think the big takeaway is to try to just consider why you're saying the things you're saying and where they came from, you know. I think that's a big takeaway. And lastly, to finish up our show, we should talk about this feud being finished.
Yeah, I'm so relieved.
Yeah, like, you know what, the world is saved.
The world is at peace once again.
I'm pretty sure, like, the pandemic's over. World peace has been achieved. AMC and Universal are no longer feuding.
Great.
I was so worried about it. I was so worried. AMC Senpai and Universal Senpai were fighting, and I didn't like it.
See, you said the feud, and I was like, oh, is Family Feud ending?
No.
They've canceled Family Feud. Now they, because I think we talked about it earlier in the summer, there was, like, this huge, like, throwdown between AMC and Universal Studios because, of the Trolls World Tour movie.
Yeah, I recall that now.
Because it did so well in direct to stream. Yeah. And AMC was like, well, we're not ever going to show Universal movies again. Get fucked. And I was like, guys, that's only going to hurt you.
there's other theater chains.
There's other movie theater chains.
Obviously, it's fine for them to go direct to home. So, yeah, I don't... But so they've changed, like, the rules a little bit. Like, movies don't have to be in theaters for quite as long before they are allowed to go to digital. So it's kind of like, oh, hey, the theaters just stopped being... They started being less of dickheads. I don't know. That's...
It's weird, because I mean, like, still, like, right now, it's like... Like, that's nice for the future. But, like, right now, they're still gonna be putting things on direct-to-digital...
For, like, direct
stream if they're smart, because it is in fact still a pandemic.
Yeah,
the pandemic's not over just because you're over it.
That's the big takeaway. That's the big takeaway.
Yeah, we could talk about how, you know, like, a major Republican face died from COVID after previously saying that, you know,
while his team was, he was dying in the hospital of COVID while his team was tweeting about how COVID's a hoax.
And you shouldn't wear a mask. Yeah.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. Yeah, it's kind of hard to sympathy.
Sad end for a known Pokemon plagiarizer. Yes. Herman Cain.
I saw that clip was on my YouTube recommends again. Because I've been trying to, like, fix my recommendation from just being, like, two people. And I'm like, okay, so now it's starting to, like, just... It's getting confused because I'm watching old videos from different people I like. So it's like, okay, do you want, like, all the recent videos from this one dude? Or do you also want this 10-year-old video from this person you watched one time? I'm like, yes, but why? but also that was there. I'm like, well, I guess people were probably searching it because he's passed away. But, like, what the... Okay, cool. I'm just going to pass by this. Was it the Mewtwo quote?
Yeah.
That's a good, in his defense, it's a very good quote.
It is. It's just very funny that he would use it.
Yeah, it's like, if it was like AOC or something, I would know immediately that like she knew what she was doing and was doing it on purpose kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Herman Cain, not so much.
Yeah.
He did have the best political ad of all time, where the last, like, 5 seconds of it were him slowly smiling. Just, like, the slowest smile. Like, man, that was a good ad.
ASC continues to flex on people. And you're just talking about, like, needing to explain Twitch chat to her job and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, God, because they were talking to all those... Well, because she tried to get a... Again, relevant to our previous conversations, was... working on getting legislation into something, into a, like an upcoming bill that would, one, keep the army from recruiting in low-income high schools.
Good.
But also...
On Twitch. Which, like, yeah, they shouldn't be. Like, literal children are watching that channel. Like, come on.
That's bad stuff. Like, to have to explain Twitch to, like, some, like... I don't know, like, elderly QAnon idiot.
Yeah, so there's that. Good old Twitch, just doing whatever at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, remember that, that senator, I guess, that's, like, mad at anime?
Oh, he's not... He's
a QAnon guy running for Congress.
Yeah, he is not a... Thank God he is not currently in government, he just wants to be.
Oh, okay. So he's...
in Florida.
Yeah. So he's mad at anime for hentai, especially Dragon Ball Z, which is okay, cool. Like, I mean, we all agree that anime was a mistake, but you can't censor it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he's really got his finger on the pulse of issues that were of concern to older white women in 1997.
Yep.
Someone was like, "It's like when in the replies was like, it seems like I figured out how they're being smuggled into the this porn is being smuggled into the country. It's on something called a magnetic VHS tape through something called Suncoast.
Like,
used to be the only place to buy it.
Dragon Ball Z. Like, yo, who's looking up Dragon Ball Z hentai? Not even Dragon Ball Super. This man went to Dragon Ball Z, like, so he didn't even, like, open up Toonami or something. This man pulled back into the past and be like, what's an anime I remember? Dragon Ball Z. It's like, cool, man. Like, I don't know if that's what's corrupting today's kids. Like, if I said that I thought Goku could beat somebody in a fight, I'm gonna get hit with OK Boomer so fast. And I'm not a boomer. Like, come on, man.
But he could.
I normally think Goku could win in a fight. Because he's overpowered, that's kind of the point. But whatever. Yep. Fuck Superman. No, I think that's everything, right? We had a big old four episode.
Yeah, I'd like to end with a personal bright spot for the week.
Oh.
Okay.
If I can.
Do it.
So I play a phone game called Final Fantasy Dissidia Opera Omnia. And they just released the next tier of weapons, and, like, so that basically ups the difficulty, increases, like, the power scale and power creep and everything. And so there's all of the gacha draws for it out for the two new weapons, and I was like, man, never gonna fucking get these. It's like a 1% chance and a 3% chance to get them. I did one multi-pull of 10 weapons and got both in one pull, and that was my bright spot for the week.
Yes! You love a bright spot. It makes me feel so good. Oh, yeah. Damn, I'm glad you brought that up. That's cool.
Yeah, I got real lucky in a gacha. Good part of the week.
Hey, we're taking the good things when we can.
My one big exciting phone game thing for the week was that I beat every single available level of Pokemon Cafe Mix.
I don't think anybody's playing that game.
Steph clearly is.
No, here's why I say that. They introduced a new thing called like Cafe Grand Prix or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I first logged on, it's like, well, we're waiting for more people to join to rank you. I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? It's a Pokemon game. They shouldn't have to even think about this. Come on. But alas, I guess there weren't that many people.
Yeah, it's rough. But yeah, it's weird because, I mean, like, Pokemon Go still, like, has millions of people logging on every week, but not so for Pokemon Cafe Mix, which I keep playing obsessively.
I play, like, once a day, I think. And I want to play it more, but it's like, I just feel like I get fucked, like, every time I play.
And I still get confused every time Leah, the, like, cafe manager, talks to me because I could not use Steph as my name in this game. I had to call myself John because Steph was inappropriate for this game for some reason.
Steph is always inappropriate for everything.
I am pretty inappropriate.
Got him.
Anyway, do you want me to do the social media biz?
Yeah. Let's drive our way out of here.
Cool. Let's
beep,
just
beep.
Yeah. Put it in drive.
Get in the cat bus.
Yeah. Right on the magic school bus, right on out of this this episode. So
we're gonna go inside Arnold's body. Let's go.
Yeah. We're gonna go to Pluto and he's gonna take off his helmet and give everyone trauma.
It's like Mr. Freeze.
When his head freezes. So if you want to find us on the internet, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Stuff, on Tumblr at Snowqueer, on Instagram at Hella Stuff. You can find Dom anywhere on the internet at Brother Dom. You can find Eric on Twitter at Tindy Losey. You can find the podcast on the podcast catcher of your choice by searching for Character Reveal. You can find us on Facebook under Character Reveal, on Twitter at Character Rev. You can listen to us in your browser at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find us on Instagram at Character Reveal. And if you want to listen to us on a podcatcher that allows you to do a rate or review, it would be cool if you did that.
Yeah, please do that. And I think we're going to be probably streaming this going forward again to save myself some time and get you all a more consistent product time-wise and all that. So probably Sundays, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, we'll, you know, put out announcements and stuff like that and try to keep a schedule. But yeah, come catch us on Twitch. If you don't want a Twitch account, you can still come watch. If you do, feel free to comment, you know, maybe we'll do viewer questions or whatever. You know, it'll be fun, it'll be interactive, no need to stress. Life's too short for all that, you know, try to enjoy it. But again, thank you to everyone who keeps listening. People who are new, people who are old, appreciate all of you. But until next time, see you later.
Have a good night.